Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
It's my mom.
And Glenn Leverins.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
That's how I know.
This is Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Muy buenos dias. Wake up, America. It's Wednesday, October 12th. Good morning and welcome to another edition of Morning Air on the Feast of Our Lady of the Pillar. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins. Our studio producer is Sarah Tafoya. Thanks for joining us on this Wednesday morning. It's great to be with you once again here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. On Wednesdays, I always take a brief moment to remind you to pray to Saint Joseph. He's a powerful intercessor, so go to Joseph. Today is the Feast of Our Lady of the Pillar in Spanish, Nuestra Señora del Pilar, the patroness of Spain. Our Lady of the Pillar is recognized as the first Marian apparition in the history of Christianity and is the only one that happened while the Blessed Virgin Mary was still alive to St. James the Greater. The Church of Our Lady of the Pillar in Zaragoza, Spain, is the first church dedicated to the Blessed Mother in history, and it remains standing to this day, having survived countless invasions and wars. Nuestra Señora del Pilar is not only the patroness of Spain, but also of all the Hispanic peoples, since it was on October 12th, 1492, the Feast of Our Lady of the Pillar, that Christopher Columbus arrived on American land and the first Mass in the Americas was celebrated. I want to bring in Glenn and Sarah. Glenn, what are a few of the big stories that are making headlines on this Wednesday morning?
Yeah, John, of course, the last few days have marked a noted uptick in activity in Ukraine with the bombing of the Kerch Bridge. That connects Russia with occupied Crimea. And following that, many, many airstrikes by Russia all across Ukraine. Russia now claims to have rounded up eight people, it says, were responsible for that explosion, including five Russian citizens and three of Ukrainian and Armenian citizenship.
Meanwhile, the president is admitting that we might be in the midst of a slight recession, that this is a possibility. He's actually admitting it.
Well, he says a slight recession is possible, but he doesn't expect it to happen, although many financial leaders are predicting that will happen before too long.
Sarah, I'm not sure if the president has gone shopping for eggs, milk, or gas recently.
Well, I mean, I'm sure he has some people that might be taking care of that, as there might be quite an assembly of people coming at him in the checkout line if he is spotted. But he might not be as in touch as some of us who are there on a regular basis because, you know, his kids are out of the house. They're not eating all the apples constantly. So he doesn't need to go every single day.
And Glenn, obviously, with the midterms just literally less than 4 weeks away, the issue of inflation, the issue of our economy is going to be on the minds of most Americans.
Yeah, I expect an economic report coming out tomorrow, and that will be the last big one before the election. And so all eyes will be on that. Some say that the next January 6th hearing, which will be held tomorrow, designed to kind of obscure some of the economic news a little bit before the election.
Well, for baseball fans, all eyes were on the division series in Major League Baseball yesterday as the Yankees, Dodgers, and the Phillies all won their opening games.
Yep, they did. Phillies winners, the only road team to win yesterday. Dodgers winners in the late game over the Padres. Yankees winners, and Astros got past the Mariners 8-7 as well.
In that Yankee game, just a quick personal story, which was kind of funny. I was keeping an eye, and I wanted to see if Judge would do anything, you know, hit a long ball, as we're always waiting to see what he's going to do. But Anthony Rizzo, the former Cub, came up, and I said to my wife and my son, I have a feeling he's going to just launch one into orbit on the next pitch. Sure enough, the next pitch, he absolutely crushed one into the night for the Yankees, a two-run shot, and they obviously went on to win. But my wife's like, hey, that's not the first time you've predicted something like that. So I don't know. I just had a feeling, and old Anthony Rizzo, the former Cubby, went deep.
Yeah, I guess she probably didn't want to put any money against you on that since you've been right before. So, smart lady.
Yeah.
Hey, John, with the sports betting legal, you might be more and more popular with that skin.
It was fun. It was all I could say is it was definitely fun. You know, I don't have any stake in any one of these teams. I am a diehard, long-suffering Cub fan. So, you know, we'll keep an eye on the rest of the playoffs as we usually do. But listen, let's talk about Bears, and we're not talking NFL variety. There is a very large bear in the news this morning.
Yeah, we found out on the ride in. I heard about this bear, so hey, we got to learn more about this. There was a competition that was on explore.org, and they had 12 bears pitted against each other, and we were trying to figure out which would be the winning bear. Well, everyone got to vote. I guess if you knew about the competition, for many of us, we didn't. We'll be on the lookout for next year. But the winner of the competition, bear number 747, his little handle, as it were, Bear Force won. So he won by 11,000 votes, beating out the other competition.
Wow. Is he a tame bear?
Well, they did not release too many details on the personality of the bear, but it's safe to say that he got all the food that he needed for hibernation, and he'll probably be celebrating his victory in several months of sleeping, I think.
I can't help myself. Is he smarter than the average bear?
That would be definitely something to look into, John. Let me see if I can find out for the next hour.
All right, Glenn and Sarah, you guys didn't know that I had a little yogi in me.
And now we do.
There you go. All right. First things first, we start every morning. We always start in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Nuestra Señora de Guadalupe, Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. Saint John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit when we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from Romans 1:16. The Apostle St. Paul writes, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God leading everyone who believes in it to salvation. The good news, the gospel, is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe in it. The great scripture scholar, St. Jerome, once said, ignorance of the scriptures is ignorance of Christ. Unfortunately, in this day and age, many today are ashamed of the gospel, so the gospel is banned from public schools, from workplaces, politically correct environments, secular media, and many other places. Some people are ashamed of the teachings of the gospel in regard to traditional marriage, divorce, abortion, the fact that Jesus alone is the way to salvation, and many other teachings of the church and the gospel. If you've ever felt ashamed of the gospel, ask Jesus the Lord to replace that shame with the joy of the gospel. And we always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. You can find us on Twitter at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook, our email, morningair@relevantradio.com. And if you want to be part of the program this morning, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Our first guest this morning, Kate Wicker, just finished running the Chicago Marathon this past Sunday, and she accomplished it again with a tremendous sub-4-hour marathon time. With this and other experiences in her life, they've given her a lot of perspective on the meaning of pain and suffering. Joining us live is Catholic journalist and speaker Kate Wicker, Morning Air regular contributor, to share what we can learn from suffering
sing as we offer it up and unite our wounds with Christ. Kate is a wife, a mom of five kids, a bibliophile, a marathon runner, an eating disorder survivor, and a perfectionist in recovery. Kate's the author of Getting Past Perfect, How to Find Joy and Grace in the Messiness of Motherhood. Good morning, Kate. Thanks so much for joining us. Great to be with you once again.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Kate, first of all, how are you feeling this morning a few days after the experience of running in the Chicago Marathon on Sunday along with 40,000 other runners? How's it going?
I'm feeling well. It was an amazing experience. I've never ran a race with quite that much energy. And I also, my Garmin, which is the watch that a lot of runners use to track with, it was off. And so it's always been very accurate, but it was telling me I was running much faster than I actually was. So I actually ended up not really pushing myself as hard as I probably could have because I was actually running slower. So I feel really good. And it made me realize that, you know, maybe this is a good thing. And it was just such a wonderful weekend because my parents were able to be there. They they are not runners. They don't know much about running. My dad was hilarious. Afterwards, he said, well, I have been to my first marathon, and it was a lot of walking as a spectator, so I think I'm good. That's probably the last one I'll do.
Wow. How do you put into words what it was like to go through this Chicago Marathon with that sea of humanity? You feel
amazing.
Like the training all paid off for you?
I do. And what was really, really cool is on Saturday night, I went to Mass. It was Old St. Mary, the Church of Old St. Mary. It was the closest one that happened to be to my hotel. I just Googled and found it. And I went to Mass, and the priest afterwards asked who was running and then called us all forward and gave us a blessing and then gave us a bracelet with 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. And another woman and I were just like, oh, crying, because that was just such a touching moment. I think for a lot of runners or anyone, women in labor, someone with cancer, anyone, and I'm not saying these things are all equal, but anyone who has had to fight that good fight and keep the faith and have gone through what we call the runners call the pain cave, I think that it just is such a spiritual journey. It can't not be spiritual because something outside of yourself, you have to offer it up. You have to push through it. And it can be a very beautiful, powerful thing.
To a marathon. Were you praying during the marathon, Kate? Some runners who are faith-oriented find themselves doing that, especially when you hit that 20-mile mark.
Yeah, admittedly, you know, I always go into it thinking I'm going to be more like contemplative prayer, and then of course other things take over. But no, there were many moments where I thought I have a very good friend that's been my friend since middle school that had breast cancer, then it came back, and it's metastatic, and just like thinking about her fighting this horrible disease and, you know, being my age and what she's had to go through. And then thinking of my mom, I told her afterwards, I said, I thought about you at one point because I thought, gosh, I'm hurting a little, but she hurts every day. And she, you wouldn't know it. She's a true suffering servant. The only ones who really know it are my dad and her doctors. But she has a very chronic, debilitating, very painful disease. And she said to me, when I told her that, she said, well, every time I hear that my suffering has a purpose, it makes it all worth it. And she's just such a beautiful suffering servant. So, there's definitely moments where you unite your sufferings with Christ when you think of others who have so much harder things and enduring things where there isn't really a finish line in sight until they meet Jesus. So to have that inspiration to push you forward when you're going through it is just such a beautiful thing. And it reminds us that the church teaches that suffering is redemptive. Christ taught us that suffering and sacrificial love are a pretty direct path to him. So to embrace that and to remember that can help us through. It doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. It doesn't mean that you don't have difficult moments. It doesn't take the pain away, but it means that it has a purpose and you're going to get through this and there's hope too.
And when you put it into perspective, when you consider the suffering that your own mom has been going through, combined with what you have experienced spiritually from running marathons and all the training that you've been doing, there's a lot to be learned from suffering. In fact, you can even learn a love from suffering, kind of like a woman in labor.
Yes. I mean, labor to me is, you know, I know we have a lot of listeners who maybe haven't gone through it, but labor to me is such a powerful, it feels like you're Jesus in some ways. I mean, not exactly, but you know that at the end, there's going to be this, it's going to be so beautiful, fruitful, and you're doing it for someone else, just as Christ died for all of us. And I do remember at one point in the marathon thinking, you can do hard things. You've had five labors and they've gone so well. And then the other voice in my head was like, yeah, but you got a baby at the end and all you're going to get is a free banana at the end of this. So, you know, it was kind of funny how I facilitate between really positive, empowering spiritual thoughts. And then like we do in life, we are on a journey and sometimes we feel the faith, we feel close to God. And then other times we're like, okay, where are you? I can't do this. And I think all of that can happen when a woman's giving birth and within the 26.2 miles of a marathon. You kind of go back and forth. And so, again, it's like this little parable for your spiritual life where you're going to have ups and downs. You're going to have some suffering. But then you're going to also have the joy of the finish line. And if that finish line doesn't come in life, if you don't have a cure or you don't have an end to your suffering, then we can look forward to that when we are reunited with Jesus.
And really, that's the end game, uniting our little suffering, our little crosses with the big cross of our Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary.
Yes. And the other little point I want to make, too, is when we are looking at others who are suffering, I think it's really easy for us, unless it's like blatant, abject suffering, to think, well, gosh, like, why is that hard for them? But God gives us just the crosses we need to bring us closer to Christ. So sometimes what may be hard for one person isn't going to be hard for someone else. So I think it's very important that we don't compare our crosses and mitigate someone's suffering. It's not our job to determine whether it's hard for them. It's our job to be the Veronicas, and you know, as she wipes the face of Jesus, and the Simon carried the cross to help others in that journey, not to think, well, this is a toothpick-like cross, but to know that if it hurts and it's hard for them, then we need to be there for them.
Final thoughts on the power of suffering and the grace that God gives us to be able to endure it. He, you know, there's the old saying that he never gives us more than we can handle.
Yes, and that's hard. That's hard sometimes for us to accept, because I think sometimes we think, okay, there's no way I can handle this. But I think all of us know that, well, gosh, we went through it and we did it somehow or another. You can see that hindsight is 20/20, that you did do it. But, you know, in the moment, it's really hard to sometimes believe that and to bring it to life. And that's why we have to just keep showing up and just keep praying and just keep that hope and think about all the things that Christ endured and what happened. You know, he rose again. That, you know, I always say the worst thing that ever happened already did. God died. And then, you know, so it can't get any worse than that.
Well, Kate, I so much appreciate you sharing with us your fantastic experience of running the Chicago Marathon. You clearly have fought the good fight, and you finish the race, literally finish the race. So, you know, thanks for being with us, and thanks also for sharing the importance of finding meaning in the little sufferings that we have and how we can unite them to our Lord.
Yes, and thank you for having me, and a shout out to all those amazing fans in Chicago that just welcomed people from all over the world and cheered them on. It was a beautiful experience.
Fantastic. Kate Wicker, thanks so much for joining us. You can find Kate at katewicker.com or on Instagram at Kate Wicker. We are going to take a short break. When Morning Air continues, our Rome correspondent Ashley Narona will have the latest news on the Holy Father from the Vatican. So stay with us on this Wednesday. There's much more to come as Morning Air continues after this short timeout.
Bringing Rome to home. This is Morning Air
on Relevant Radio.
And welcome back to Morning Air on the Feast of Our Lady of the Pillar, the patroness of Spain. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance and Sarah Tafoya. It's good to be with you. Thanks so much for joining us on this Wednesday morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. And now it's time to bring Rome to home for the latest news from the Vatican. We go live to the Eternal City and our Rome correspondent, Ashley Narona. Ashley and her husband, John, founded the Truth and Beauty Project, providing Renaissance-style theological formation for visitors to Rome. You can read more about them at johnandashley.org. Good morning, Ashley. Buongiorno. Thanks so much for joining us. It's always a blessing to be with you once again from beautiful Roma.
Well, ciao, John. I am happy to be here today and to share a little bit about the wonders that are going on in the Eternal City.
Well, let's begin with the wonders of the Holy Father. What was the main focus of Pope Francis this morning at his Wednesday general audience?
Sure. Well, John, you probably recall that Pope Francis has been talking about the theme of discernment in his last public audiences. And today the key word was desire. So desire and discernment, but not necessarily ours, or not at least not ours alone. He spoke about God's desire for us and how each person has the power to accept God's desire for us and then to make that desire one's own deep desire too. So he called desire an indispensable ingredient of discernment. And he said that God's desire for his people is something that he implants. He plants it deep down within the human heart and soul. And it's a sign of God's presence there. And he described desire as a yearning. He said it's this like yearning for fulfillment that never seems to find fulfillment. And it requires lots of searching for something that's lacking, but yet, he said, something that is known. And he pointed out that the Italian word desiderio comes from the Latin term de decidus, and that means the lack of a star. So in other words, the lack of a reference point, a light that is orienting the path of light. So it's that yearning or desire of God, he said, is what keeps people looking for that star, looking for the right track to be on. And one should remember that desire, authentic desire from God, it's not fleeting. It doesn't get destroyed by setbacks. In fact, he said it's quite the opposite. Obstacles and failures make that desire even more alive. But that one should be aware that if they sincerely choose to pursue God's desire, it means saying no to other good things and avoiding diversions and distractions. That's how one pursues or authentically pursues desire. And he said the best way then to know God's desire for a person, he said, well, engage in dialogue with the Lord. So talk to God, because that's how people learn to understand what God wants for them. He pointed out when Jesus in John 5 spoke to the paralytic, he said, do you want to be well? And that dialogue that ensued helped the paralytic get closer to his personal real desire and thus to God's desire for him. So he said, dialoguing with God is imperative. And he said to ask him, and I'll read the quote here. He said, help me know your deepest desire, the one that God, that you have placed inside my heart, and give me the strength to make it materialize. So that's the prayer that Pope Francis recommended today to all the faithful to get to know that deep desire that God has planted down in everyone's heart, John.
It's very deep stuff by the Holy Father, and it's really something that we really should take a moment and really contemplate, because, you know, we pray not so much for God's sake, but for, you know, for not so much for our sake, but to be closer to God, because He already knows what's in our heart. He knows what our desire is. He knows what we're feeling and what we desire the most. So I think it's a fantastic message by the Holy Father this morning.
And he said that knowing that desire and really coming to understand it and to bother to kind of mine it out, it creates a compass to understand where one is going, where they want to go, where God wants them to go. So there's a lot of complexities attached. So the point of the Angelus today was to continue to ask God to dialogue with him, to find out that desire to, so you can get closer to knowing the direction of life that God has set out just for you.
And Ashley, in light of the attacks by Russia on Ukraine in recent days, mm-hmm. after the explosion of that bridge, I know that peace continues to be on the mind of the Holy Father. He continues mm-hmm. To invoke a desire for peace in Ukraine.
Yes. In fact, today at the end of his public audience, he said that his heart is with the Ukrainian people. In fact, he said he carries their pain with him and prayed that through the intercession of Mary, that the Mother of God, that he presented the people to her maternal care, and reminding all that God hears the cry of those who invoke him. And so he prayed today that anyone who holds the fate of the war in their hands, that the Spirit would transform their hearts, and specifically that the hurricane of violence, as he called it, that the hurricane of violence will cease and will instead be replaced with peace, John.
And of course, we continue to pray for peace in Ukraine, and really hope that the consecration that the Holy Father did earlier this year will ultimately pay dividends.
Mm-hmm, indeed. We know that we have lots of prayer power behind this, so let's keep it up.
For sure. On another note, yesterday was a big day in our church. It was not only the feast of Pope John the 23rd, the good Pope John, but also the commemoration of the anniversary of Vatican II, 60 years ago yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yes, in fact, the 60th anniversary, and as you mentioned, also the feast of Pope St. John the 23rd. So yesterday was a very big day in St. Peter's Basilica, because not only was the anniversary being celebrated, but pilgrims were coming from far and wide to pray at the tomb of Pope St. John the 23rd. Of course, his remains are kept in a glass urn, and the faithful are able to walk right up and see his undecayed remains there. Now, in a homily that Pope Francis gave in celebration of the 60th anniversary, he spoke a lot about joy, about the importance of having a church that's filled with joy. And he said, in fact, if the church does not have joy, then she denies her very self. And he asked people, all the faithful, to ask themselves the question, are they living without joy? Specifically, he said, without grumbling and without criticizing. He said, because a church who's in love with Jesus doesn't have time for disputes and gossip and quarrels. So he prayed for all the faithful to be free from critical and intolerant and harsh and angry words and behavior. He said, instead, that it be replaced by love, and that all can do, it can operate as St. Paul the Apostle taught, to do everything without murmuring. Now, of course, it was also 60 years ago on this very day, today, which was the day two of the Second Vatican Council, that Pope St. John the 23rd spoke to a group of diplomats who were present and spoke to them specifically about the fate of nations, about their responsibility for nations, and to listen to what he called the anguished cry for peace that's rising from every part of the world. So again, not much is new under the sun, right? We're in a similar state today. In fact, at this time, this was the background, or what was going on in the background, was the unfolding Cuban Missile Crisis. So Pope St. John the 23rd had gone on to talk about the church's vigor, to emphasize her spiritual mission and the methods that could be adapted so that the gospel teaching could be worthily lived and worthily shared. So that was in his address exactly 40 years ago today, John, or 60 years ago today, sorry.
It really is amazing. Mm-hmm. So providential, as you said, you know, history repeats itself. Nothing new under the sun, as the book of Ecclesiastes reminds us. We're also coming up on the anniversary of the synagogue attack in Rome. What's the latest with that?
Yes. So imagine that this was in 1962, 40 years ago, when sure enough, all of a sudden, as worshipers at the Jewish synagogue in Rome were headed out of the back door, five well-dressed men came up and threw three hand grenades at the attendees at the synagogue. And of course, these are families, these are children, et cetera. They also then sprayed the crowd with submachine gun fire. And that day, a little two-year-old toddler named Stefano Tacchi, he was killed in the attack. He was hit with shrapnel. And then 37 civilians were also injured, including little Stefano's brother. He was four. His name is Gadiel. And he was shot in the head and in the chest. And in fact, 40 years later, young Gadiel, now at the age of 44, has just released a book for this 40th anniversary. And he was describing in the book a lot about his personal experience, how he has gone through grief in different stages and what that has looked like for him and his family. And also a bit more about the unsolved mystery of exactly who those attackers were and how that could have happened in 1982, only 40 years ago. So sure enough, to commemorate this anniversary, our president, the president of Italy, Sergio Mattarella, went to this synagogue, and indeed all stood in front of a plaque that hangs there that commemorates what happened on that terrible October day. So we certainly remember the Jewish community on this very bitter anniversary, John.
Ashley, on a happier note, you and your husband, John, are involved in a pilgrimage.
Oh, yes. Well, John and I are going to go on Saturday to a place we have never been before. It's called Terrelle del Sannio. And I think I can probably guess it's a new name to you and Sarah and Glenn and probably our listeners, because the population is just a little bit over 700 people. This is in the region of Molise. Now, the reason that we're so looking forward to going there is because this is the very area that my great-grandparents, my dad's mom's grandparents, came from, and before they settled in the U.S. And so we're very much looking forward to it, because we're looking forward to, of course, experiencing this little town and imagining what their lives were like. But this is actually also the feast of their patron saint. His name is Saint Clement, and he came from that area. And on Saturday, there will be a big mass and a procession of his relics throughout the town. And also, I will have the chance to go and visit and pray in front of a special commemorative plaque that is remembering the victims of a mine disaster that happened actually in the U.S. It was December 6th of 1907 that in Monongah, West Virginia, the worst mining disaster in U.S. history occurred. And there were 12 victims from this tiny little town who were actually in that mine and died. My great-grandfather worked in that mine, John. And that morning, the 6th of December, the Feast of St. Nicholas, the name of the very church where he attended when he lived back in Italy, he woke up from a bad dream and decided that it was telling him that he should not go to work that day. So he knocked on the door of three of his friends. They played cards that day. And suddenly, as they did, the ground under their feet began to tremble and they heard a horrific noise and realized that the mine had exploded. So all of their friends and colleagues died that day. There were about 500 people in the mine officially, and then there were hundreds more that were unofficial because they were just contracted as day laborers. So with that, I think it'll be a very poignant experience to go to this little town and celebrate the feast of the patron, St. Clement, John.
I've never been to Molise or that little tiny town, but is this the same St. Clement that succeeded St. Peter as the third successor of the first pope?
This is a different Clemente, actually, but he was also a martyr, and so he's the hometown favorite over there. And John, I have to tell you, to celebrate, they're going to serve scatone, which is a pasta that after they cook the pasta, they pour it in a bowl, and then they pour in red wine. So imagine eating your pasta in a bowl of red wine with a little chili, a little sugar sometimes they add. And so it sounds very interesting. I look forward to telling you all about it.
Oh, it sounds fantastic. Cap it off with a little gelato and you're all set.
You got it.
Thanks, Ashley. As always, grazie for bringing Rome to home to our listeners.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Many blessings. Take care.
Many blessings to you. Ashley Nerona, our Rome correspondent who joins us every Wednesday from the Eternal City. You can listen to her reports on the Relevant Radio app. Just go to Relevant in Rome. We need to take a short break. When Morning Air continues, Catholic speaker Damon Owens will explain the joy of being open to life in marriage and how married couples that haven't been able to conceive can also find joy in their marriage as well. So stay with us. There's much more to come as Morning Air continues after this here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. This is Morning Air.
With John Morales, Sarah Tafoya, and Glenn Leverett.
Jump into the conversation. Call 888-914-9149.
And welcome back to Morning Air on the Feast of Our Lady of the Pillar, the Patroness of Spain. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins and Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us on this Wednesday morning. Once again, I want to just take a real quick moment and remind you that we're less than 7 weeks away from the Advent season, and Christmas is going to be here before you know it. This year, celebrate the Christmas season with a beautiful nativity set. Can you believe Relevant Radio is giving away 200 sets once again, like they've done in the past. These nativity sets are made possible by a very generous donor. They're hand-painted, and they're perfect for porches, for windows, and even the front yard. Display the true, humble, and profound reason for the season, but you have to enter today. You only have until midnight Central Time, October 16th, to sign up. Proudly welcome Christ into your heart and home this year. Sign up to win today at relevantradio.com/set. That's relevantradio.com/set for a chance to win a beautiful nativity set from Relevant Radio. And folks, don't waste any time. Do it this morning. Our number, if you want to be part of the conversation, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, during the Respect Life Month, we're reminded about being pro-life, especially in marriage. Open to life, welcoming life. There's something about welcoming lives into our life, into the life of a married couple that brings so much joy to that marriage. Joining us live is Morning Air contributor Damon Owens to tell us about the joy of being open
to life in marriage. Heaven, My Baby. How appropriate that tune to set the stage for our discussion about married couples, and even married couples that haven't been able to conceive. They, too, can find joy in marriage. Damon is an international speaker and evangelist for well over 20-plus years. He's the co-founder and executive director of Joyful Ever After, along with his wife, Melanie, a movement that helps married couples get the marriage they want from the marriage that they have. Good morning, Damon. Welcome back to Morning Air. Thanks so much for taking the time to be with us here this morning.
John, it's a privilege, and what a beautiful topic. And listening to that music, we are definitely cut from the same generation.
Absolutely, for sure, my friend. Hey, let's, time is always the enemy, and we need to talk here briefly about the importance of being open to life and having kids and how it can bring so much joy to any marriage.
Yeah, a couple of directions. One of them is really, from God's direction to us. Another is from our experience of being open to life. And the third is just the whole connection with our call from God. And I would say first, God has generously, almost prodigally, ridiculously shared in his two great gifts of life and love with us. When we read the poetry of Genesis 1 and 2, it's not just some distant story. It's the remarkable story of God who shares life and love, the two greatest truths about who he is. And he bakes that into us being made male and female. So when we say things like sex makes babies, we're not just talking about a function or a behavior. We're talking about an identity, that being made male and female is how God has transferred to us this great gift of sharing in life and love. So there's an honor there. The second is our experience that you just talked about. That, every man and woman who's been in a room to receive this baby, to hear that they're pregnant, they know that they're part of something greater than anything they could have manufactured on their own. There's a built-in awe and wonder and fascination. And when that becomes part of our marriage, it's not so much about the number of children we have. It's about remaining open to the great wonder and gift that we can even participate in God's great gift of life and love. That's where the joy comes in. Just to know that God entrusts us with these two beautiful gifts. And, finally, this is how we witness to the world. We tell the world that God has shared this with us, that we have a duty, an honor, a responsibility, but it's not a burden. What it is an honor. It's a joy that comes from being chosen, knowing we can't accomplish it, but God wants to accomplish it in and through us. So it's being open to life is about being open to the wonder and the possibilities of what God is working through us.
And Damon, what about folks and couples that are open to life? They really want to follow God's ways, but they just can't conceive for whatever reason. How can they, too, find joy in marriage?
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked that, because one of the big misunderstandings is that being open to life is related to the number of children that we have. The fact of the matter is, whether you consider yourself extremely fertile or whether you're dealing with difficulties in fertility, we have zero control outside of our openness to enter into the great gift of sexual union. Beyond that, it is all God's will. So our duty, our purpose, our participation in this joy of God does not go beyond our yes, no matter how many children we have. So people who have a lot of children, need to recognize that we did not create them. And those who are struggling to have them need to work through the sorrow, the disappointment, the frustration, but also recognize you are just as open to life with that spirit, with that willingness, with that openness to enter into this union as anyone else. That's probably the biggest confusion, even within our Catholic world, that procreation and being open to life has something to do with the number of children we have. No, it's about the promise made at the altar and the willingness to submit, to be under the mission of God, to allow by his will, his movement into the world.
Damon, we're just scratching the surface. Time's not going to allow us to really get deep into this topic, unfortunately. But just a quick word on adoption. You can be open to life, but also need to be open to adoption, something I know firsthand as an adopted father.
As well, we have two adopted children as part of number 7 and number 8 for us were adopted.
Wow.
And I want to be clear with people that it was a direct call from God, that being being an adoptive parent is such a beautiful gift, but it is a gift. And the openness to, Lord, what do you want from me, is the same openness to, Lord, what do you want from me when we enter into the marital embrace and conceive children? So it is a calling. It is part of our marital call. But it is a special calling that we need to put that time and that prayer into to see what God wants for us. But I got to tell you, just as you know, this adoptive experience has just expanded not only my understanding of marriage and of family, but of God himself, of just how generous he is. Adoption is misunderstood, and we need to really, really pray our way and to participate in it.
Amen. We have to leave it right there. Damon, as always, tremendous perspective. I always appreciate you being with us. Thanks again.
Always a gift. God bless you.
Damon Owens, the founder and executive director of Joyful Ever After. Now it's time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called The Sunshine File. It's from Humans of New York. From all sour-faced saints, deliver me, O Lord. I don't want to be with a grouch, a crab, a crocodile, and a moat. The grumps are a small minority, but they're vocal. Yes, the grumps are vocal. They have unresolved things, maybe from their childhood. They're not disconnected from God, but they're wrestling with him. Not a bad thing, mind you, not a bad thing, but I want to hang out with people who enjoy life. At home, I have a sunshine file. It's just a plastic box. Inside are all the letters that people have written to me over the years. Teenagers in the youth group, widows who lost their husbands, people I was able to make a difference for in their life. For 2 years, I was chaplain on the children's ward of a cancer hospital. What can you say? You can't explain why some things happen, only that it's a mystery. And a mystery is reality imbued with God's presence. One Christmas time, there was a 10-year-old girl from Ireland dying of leukemia. All this girl wanted was a Cabbage Patch doll. Ugliest doll you've ever seen in your life, $75, $75, and sold out everywhere. The mother told me, I've looked in every store. And that same day, a family from my parish asked what I wanted for Christmas. I said, one Cabbage Patch doll and two walkie-talkies. They said, Father, are you sure? I told them, yes, I'm sure. I was a kid once, too. The Cabbage Patch doll went to the little girl. Then I gave one walkie-talkie to her and one to her twin brother so they could speak while she was in isolation. After she passed away, the mother wrote me a letter. I keep it in my sunshine file. It said those walkie-talkies were the best medicine she ever had. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you.
As always, thanks so much, Glenn. Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, Relevant Radio VP of Accounting and our controller, Preston Alex, will explain the virtues of building wealth from a father's perspective. Plus, our personal success coach, Dave Duran, will discuss why we should be magnanimous today. So stay with us, America, on this Wednesday morning. There's much more to come as Morning Air continues next hour here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.